Hello and welcome to another edition of Through the Turnstiles podcast as we take an in-depth look at the lower leagues of Scottish football, joined as always by Muzz. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
And James?
Not too bad, aye.
Muzz is very well. Muzz has parked himself outside his favourite non-premiership ground in Scotland. Muzz, where are you today, for those of you listening on Spotify?
Starks Park, Kirkcaldy, although I rushed a bit when I chose this picture because I could have actually got myself in the stadium, but...
You look like you're more parked outside MD's electrical contractors, to be fair.
I'm standing out in the road, and also it's back to front, so...
And desperately queuing up for awaiting the football to kick back off and fans being allowed back in.
There's also a floodlight or some sort of construction thing growing out your head, so...
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll just get rid of it then, will I?
No, Andrew. Listen, we've just had the Raith Rovers media officer follow us, and... Brief TV commentator follows on Twitter, so Muzz is definitely trying to do some brown nose in there. So
coincidence.
Don't believe it for a second. So this week, we're doing two episodes. One is a combined League One and League Two extra time episode where we speak in depth with Stan Abbin chairman Stuart Brown about the enforced continuation of the closure of the lower leagues or League One and Two. Very good information actually there in depth as well. So even if you're not a fan of a club in League One or League Two, it's worth checking out to get more of an understanding about protocols that clubs have had to put in place, how it's affected clubs, and his views on the continued closure and the prospect of getting back to hopefully playing.
Without bigging it up too much, I thought he was class for, like, the intention was just to talk about this suspension, but he went into quite a bit of detail about how the actual running of a club was, and
yeah, budget.
Without going too much about being like a chairman, obviously, great to see how much he does behind the scenes and things. So,
no, very, very much so. So yeah, let's say go and check that out. It's on our YouTube channel. It's also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, like these episodes are. So, as always, if you're watching on YouTube, if you could do us a massive favour and like the video and subscribe to the channel. You can get us on Twitter at Turnstiles there. And like I said there, we're also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts if you prefer listening to watching. This Championship episode, what we're doing is reviewing our predictions from the start of the season. Now we're into February and we've seen the January transfer window and seeing how our thoughts have changed on the final placements of the Championship table come the end of the season. I couldn't be much more wrong than I was with my Dundee shout at the start of this season, so I can only improve, to be fair. Before we get into that, we're going to go live to M&D's Electrical Contractors, where Muzz has hopefully got a journeyman spot of the week for us.
Yeah, this one should spark a bit of interest. We're going back in time a wee bit with this journeyman spot. He does qualify as a journeyman because, having a quick double check, he... turned out for no less than 8 clubs in his career. This one was contributed by Inverness Cali Thistle fan Mac, ICT. And he says he saw Archie Gemmell promoting whiskey at a stand in the Govan Asda, mid-2000s. He let me get a photo with him, but only because I happened to be wearing a Scotland top. He'd lost the photo, an old phone. He seemed decent enough, wee short hash though, is the words of Mac ICT. Interesting thing about this is on, you'll find it on Pye and Bovril. Mac ICT has only posted once, and it's this journeyman spot of the week contribution. So he's obviously been watching an episode, jogged his memory, and he's made the effort to sign up. The Pye and Bovril.
I feel bad for a guy.
We really appreciate that.
I feel bad for a guy that's posted only once and it's been this, but how sure are we that it's been Gemmell promoting whiskey? Do you think it's been a Gemmell adjacent guy, a guy that looks a bit like him and he's just played along, or are we convinced that he has actually seen Archie Gemmell promoting whiskey in an Asda?
I think this is somebody...
It's a big step.
I think he's sure enough that he's willing to
register
on a website to get. I think this is something that he shares with a lot of people when he gets the chance.
Surely, yeah. It's took a few greenies, a few likes on Pine Bovril. Has it got too Kenny down the bottom corner? No.
It's a big one.
Well, he's getting recognised within this podcast, and we did save this snippet for a Championship episode since he's an Inverness fan. So, Mac, thank you very much for your contribution. Much appreciated. So for those of you who have also got journeyman spots, like I say, get them submitted in the comments of this YouTube video or via Pie and Bovril. The thread is in the Championship Forum and Miscellaneous Football. Or you can, like I say, you can get us on Twitter at Turnstiles there. So that was Mac ICT, who got a picture taken with Trainspotting star Archie Gemmell. Into the Championship then. We'll be coming on Inverness in a bit. So, like I said, what we're doing is we're revisiting our predictions for the league table. What we're going to do is we're going to start with who we think will finish 10th, then 9th in the playoffs, then skip to the promotion playoffs, 4th, 3rd and 2nd. For those of you who want to know who we think will win it, we'll just get that out of the way first. I can't see any of us coming off the path of the Jam Tarts.
Yeah. But do you want to repeat that one again? Because I can't really remember who you predicted top.
I predicted Dundee to finish top because I didn't think that Hearts would potentially get a full season out of the likes of Naismith, Berra, Haring, Boyce, who've previously had injury troubles. But to be fair to them, they've not needed to because they've recruited relatively well in January. And I can't see anybody catching them now. What they're doing is when other teams are playing each other and kind of killing each other off, they've kind of they're managing to pick up points, obviously, which extend the league at the top of the table. And see, for me, I don't know if you agree, but what they've done is every time they've had a bad result, like the loss to Dunfermline, for example, they've come back straight away after it and got a positive result. So they're not allowing themselves to get in a slump.
That's quite a good point. That's exemplified in the doubleheader against Raith a couple of weeks ago as well, where they took a surprise scudding really at Tynecastle and then went to Starks Park midweek and sorted that out. So I think you're spot on, Andy. I think personally, they've toiled in a few games, but I don't think anyone at the club at Hearts would be blasé enough to, or arrogant enough even to say that they were going to cruise the league. You know, they would always be on guard. And that match against Ayr United on Friday night typifies that as well, because you know, that's not a penalty for me. It's been well debated already, the fact that it's come off the knee and then onto the arm.
Beard, wasn't it?
So it's been quite widely accepted that's even within the letter of the law, that's not a penalty kick. So they've rode their luck at certain stages, but still 12 points clear. Sure.
Yeah, to be fair, Jim, they've taken 36 points at a possible 45. At the time of recording, they've played 15, top of the league, and 36 points. So they've only dropped 9 points all season.
Yeah, and you don't want to say it's... Just when Muzz was talking, I'm trying to weigh up in my head, is it reminiscent of the Rangers' progression at the top of, obviously, the league above, and that they just go about their business? Obviously, Rangers haven't suffered any sort of scuddings that Hearts have, but... Hearts almost go into games as champions elect. So when they do take a defeat, I think it's so much easier to bounce back from that, because you're then going, well, we should be going and winning games and we've not. So we have it within us to address that, and we have it within us to solve these problems. And they're, I don't know, it seems like a mature way to go around it, where they can address what went wrong. And with that double header, they fixed the problems that they encountered and sort of bounced right back from it. So I think you can almost go in with too much of an arrogance and a swagger, like Muzz touched on, but they're doing it in a way that is reflective of the fact that they probably should be where they are. They know they should be where they are. And even in January, they've recruited better than they had, and they didn't rush into things. And don't get me wrong, a lot of folk are calling them a top six team. Should they get promoted? I'm not convinced they're there yet. There's a couple of folk who might be a bit of a dead weight for them, but if their recruitment over the summers anything like it has been in January, those boys will just get sort of filtered out and better players will come in, and that'll really strengthen. So I don't think you can look past a team that are strong going into January and then only get stronger. Their points per game, their sort of winning mentality just now, I think there's no reason that's going to stop. And really, why should it, when you see the teams that should be challenging, like you touched on, Andy, Dundee, Dunfermline, are maybe dropping off a wee bit. Hearts are looking around going, this is ours, because everyone else is sort of biting each other's throat.
No, absolutely. So a comprehensive Hearts march to the title, I think we can all agree. So what we're going to do then is we'll drop to the other end of the table and kind of work our way up from there. So just now, teams that you'd probably say are in and around the mix, you've got Alloa, you've got Queen of the South, you've got Arbroath, arguably Inverness, who are only 3 points off bottom again at time of recording, but with three games in hand, if they ever get played, there's another call off, wasn't there, for was it tonight? Muzz, who have you got propping up the pile?
Rather predictably, I've got Alloa. I know James has or had a wee bit more faith in them, but it boils mostly down to me for the lack of reinforcement in the transfer window, whilst already being isolated down there. And I think the teams around them have strengthened and found form, and that combination has seen them slowly start to pull away. Only 3 points adrift, but for me, I can't see any signs pointing in the direction of Alloa not even staying up. I mean, I think it's going to be a long season for them, long second half of the season.
How much do you put it down to, Muzz, that Arbroath, are you touching the transfer window there? How much do you put down to the Arbroath managing to recruit the likes of Jack Hamilton, for example, Ben Williamson? I know we touched on how well they've done in the January transfer window, but that's been massive, isn't it, really? Or would you, even if they hadn't done that, would you still have fancied Alloa to finish bottom, or has that really convinced you the January business?
No, I actually think that makes a huge difference. Specifically, we'll use the example of Jack Hamilton. That's a signing that has already proven to be a game changer for Arbroath. So I think it's as simple as that. It's as simple as the fact that I was going to go into that when I talk about Arbroath, but yeah, I think it just boils down to that.
No, to be fair, Muzz, you had Alloa bottom of the league in your original predictions. You're standing by that, and you fancy them to be bottom again. James, I think from memory, you also had Alloa to finish bottom in your original predictions. How do you see any change to that?
Nah, to be fair, I still have them down, propping up the table. I think I have maybe come across as hoping they don't, and maybe not being as convinced as you pair. But
you had them at the bottom though initially, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so. And I expected that, while also accepting that it was a likelihood because they played the style of football they wanted to, and they didn't seem to want to compromise that. And we've gone on about how they like to play that expansive football. They've got the pitch for it, or certainly the facilities for it, quite a large place and quite capable of moving the ball relatively well with some of their early signings. Skugel, for example, we had a bit of high hopes for, but it didn't quite seem to come to fruition. And my main issue with them just now is that I can't really see them picking up the same amount of points plus more to sort of bridge the gap into the teams above them, because if you almost sort of expand the season on, they need to win more games than they've looked at all season.
Well, we're over halfway, aren't we? If you're taking a 27 game season, they've played 14 already.
Yeah, so where are they then going to start going, well, actually, now's the crunch time, and really should they be beating this team then? And so for me, it's just, can they double their tally plus more to rein in the team above? And without wanting to jump too far ahead, I think the window has done well for Arbroath, like you've touched on with Muzz. So I've actually got Arbroath sitting higher up the table, and I think that gap between potential relegation candidates and Alloa's widened. I think Queen of the South will still be in and about, but for me, Alloa are a definite almost, I don't think it'll be a write-off of a season that set over now, but for me, they're as good as gone while given a bit of a fight.
Credit where credit's due though, Muzz. Last time out, they beat Queen of the South at home. That's massive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
See if they'd, I know we're sitting, well, you guys, and to be fair, I've also got them at finished bottom. I didn't initially add them eighth in my predictions, but obviously I'm dropping them now. But Muzz, I like I'm saying, we're sitting here having a wee pop at Alloa, but last time out, like Ennis Cameron, who they brought in the window, started, and what a result they got against Queen of the South, from one down as well.
Yeah, that's we're saying this about Alloa, but they've certainly gone about sorting that quite quickly there, and possibly could trip us up there with our predictions if they carry that on. But yeah, it's a massive win. We'd be looking a lot more certain had they not done that, and that's exactly what they need to do. Probably their biggest win of the season, because it keeps them within touching distance of Queen of the South, keeps them within a win of them and Arbroath. So can't underestimate that. Yeah.
And moving on to Queen of the South, I've got them to finish ninth. To be fair, although I think in the last episode they probably kind of rated the January transfer window. So go and check that one out if you've not seen it already. We said they'd done relatively well, didn't they? They've brought in a defender, they've brought in a midfielder, they've brought in a striker, and they've brought in a goalie. So they've kind of added kind of firepower to each of the positions on the pitch. And see, for me, it's results like that one on Saturday that was going to cost them, albeit they're away from home, but you're 1-0 up away at Alloa. Just, you've got to take a point, worst case, don't you, James?
Yeah, and I think, if I remember, we've spoken about them losing or drawing from winning positions before, or certainly throwing potential points away like that. And I've got them sitting ninth as well, and I think for me it's just down to name recognition. Recruitment's the wrong way to put it, but it's almost like you don't really know what you're getting with those Queen of the South sort of imports or new signings. Like, for me, I don't think they've got enough about them. And if you just take the trend of picking up the same points they have so far, you would actually have Queen of the South higher up the table. But I think if you look at Arbroath signings, that is going to be the sort of the X factor that splits Arbroath and Queen of the South. Like, they're throwing away points against a team like Alloa. I think they've done too much in the start of the season to be drawn into that 100% going down without the playoffs battle. But throwing away points against Alloa, not having particularly strong recruitment and playing a style of football that's going to keep you up. For me, Wrighton's almost on the wall that Queen of the South are getting themselves into that playoff place, and Arbroath signings will, I think, be the saviour of them.
It was an interesting one, Muz, because I don't want to read too much into it in case there's been like a wee knock or anything like that, but they obviously signed Rhys Breen in January. This is Queen of South I'm talking about, who obviously previously been at Partick. He's gone in and started alongside Obalaye, and Gregor Buchanan's been on the bench. Now, Buchanan, I think he was the captain. I might be wrong, and apologies to any Queen of South fans watching. I think he has been the captain at some stage, but see, for me, from what I'd seen, if I was dropping one of those centre-halves, it would have been Obalaye rather than Buchanan. But, like I said, there might have been injury into it. But if there hasn't been, that's a strange decision, eh?
Arguably, yeah. If it hasn't been an injury that's led to it, it's obviously something that the managers needed to address, because they have conceded a lot of goals. Their second highest conceded to Alloa with 32. And I think this is the issue, even when they're winning, and they have been winning recently. I mean, let's not take too much from that defeat against Alloa, mm-hmm. in the sense that it's their first defeat in five games, I think. And Alloa, that's their first win in so many games as well. So it turned itself on its head a wee bit there, but I wouldn't take too much away from Queen of the South for that. But yeah, the concern is the amount of goals they're conceding. And like I say, the managers maybe tried to act on that, and which is why I have them ninth as well. Because I think that the upturn in form has set them a wee bit apart from Alloa initially, but there's still a few alarming signs there that suggest to me that they might not be able to pull away at the rate that they would like.
To be fair, one of their new signings got the goal, didn't he? Is it Isaiah Jones? I'm sure it was it that scored for them first. But it's criminal.
Switch or something.
Yeah, I think so. It's criminal for me that they've not been able to see that out, having gone one up, for worst case a draw, because Alloa had to reshuffle as well, because I think Jameson, the centre half, went off at half time, and John Robertson's come in, and they've had to kind of rejig that back four as well. So for me. Not good enough. Dobie not in the squad on Saturday again. We've got to assume that's been injury, but massive player for them. And is he maybe now at a aging stage where it's going to be hard for him to come back, especially, mm-hmm. we keep saying it, shortened season. So they need to get him back relatively soon.
I worry for Alloa and Queen of the South, it's, it's maybe going to be a little bit too late, where when Dobby does come back, that's maybe too late for them to actually reap the benefits of it. And maybe with some of their signings, it's a wee bit too late for them.
So, Mars, I'm going to come to you next. Fourth place.
I've chosen Dunfermline to finish fourth. I think part of the reason is a mid-season dip in form, ever so slightly, where they've just seen themselves, they went through a patch where they're toiling for goals, and they've levelled out a wee bit after a really promising start. And we talked at the start of the season about the well-publicised investment they had, and we did wonder if being in the position they were in, if they were found themselves in the position that they were in January, would they go and look to strengthen so that they could really kick on, knowing that most likely Hearts were probably going to be top of the league and potentially running away with it. Would they go and strengthen and then really invest to ensure that they're going to be at least best of the rest? And we didn't really see that activity in January. Obviously, COVID playing a part, but the clubs have, you know, been covered quite well financially with the grants and the government scheme and things like that. So, and if they are backed financially as well as it's maybe been publicised, I was expecting a wee bit more strengthening from Dunfermline. So given the fact that Dundee have recruited so well, as have Raith Rovers, and they both, Raith Rovers continue to, whilst they have off days, they continue to punch above their weight and show no real signs of letting up, certainly in the attacking side of things. For me, I think it's going to be Dunfermline that are going to just drift away slightly. So that's why I have them at fourth place.
Nice one. You had them at third, I think, initially. So I'll drop a one for you for the Parge. James, I'll come to you in a minute, but Maz, I'm going to back you with Dunfermline at fourth. We've not conferred before this for anyone watching or listening, so this is pure coincidence so far. Much for the reasons that you've said, Maz. Obviously, Scott Banks, I'm interested to see how he does. He's obviously coming and started the game already. And as I've, without kind of rehashing old ground that I spoke about in the January transfer window episode, he'll give him an option off the side or almost as a second striker or playing as a 10, which they need, because like I say, I think we're getting a wee bit predictable with Dow and Thomas as their kind of wide players. So he'll maybe give him that spark in the final third, but I think they still need something else in the middle of the park. I worry a wee bit about their depth in comparison to even a Wraith now, and it's ridiculous to say that, but given that Wraith have just come up, but I think injuries, Wraith are more equipped to handle them, especially in that attacking third and goals win games. So I can't see any of the teams that I've got mid-table catching Dunfermline. That said, I can't see Dunfermline kicking on and getting second or third. So a fourth place for Sammy the Tammy for me as well. James, what are you saying about fourth?
Yeah, quite embarrassing. I've got Dunfermline in fourth as well.
I've just seen you scribbling something down there.
To be fair, my reasoning is the same a bit, but also I'll offer you something else here.
Can I interrupt you before you go on to say it? You're the only person that called Dunfermline fourth in the original prediction, so if anything, you've got the rights to this.
I think when I went and checked, I had four positions correct, so as it stands. So I'm going to hold on to that as tightly as I can. My reason for Dunfermline fourth is slightly like Muzz touched on. I think they've done very well, and you'd be an idiot to say they haven't, in the first half of the season. But it's almost like weakest link style for me, where they've just banked those points and are now seeming to go on a little downwards trajectory.
And so horrible result for them against Arbroath, wasn't it? 2-0 defeat last time out.
Aye, but and I think some of the other games, and I'm a bit fed up of talking about that Morton game as an example, but they've got those 3 points from the first half of the season that they can just live on. And if they do slip up, they'll be able to just to rely on that, because they have that sort of credit available to them, and the fans and the players will know that, and they'll expect that they will still pick up some points. So I do have them sort of still staying in the playoffs. I don't see them falling out at all. Like you said, I don't see anyone sort of fitting in instead of them. But for me, it came down to also considering potentially the teams that come down from the Premiership in a playoff. I don't see Dunfermline as being a strong force in the playoff. I don't see that Dunfermline team equipped for the Premiership. I just don't see them as strong as Dundee, certainly. And again, I don't have the same belief that Raith will do well should they go up. But for me, Dunfermline don't have that that fight that should see them any higher up the table or see them progressing into the Premiership. So, yeah, good team, absolutely. Good Championship team. I think they're strong. But for me, fourth, I think, is going to be achievable for them based on mainly the credit for the first half of the season, and they can address the slide they might be edging themselves towards.
So, James, sticking with you then, third place, what are you saying? So I think originally, just kind of checking here, you'd had Dundee as your third place shout. You sticking with that, or do you see that changing?
I am sticking with that, yeah. They were, for me, when I was talking about a team that I could see progressing, you can almost see them being a team that could compete with anyone that comes down or certainly operates in the playoff sort of spaces in the Premiership. I was torn because I feel like they could be sitting second, and to sort of spoil the surprise, I've got Raith sitting in second. But I think for me that Raith will just keep on doing what they're doing, and that will accumulate enough points where they'll make it to that end of the season and sit in second. But Dundee, I think, are going to have a massive second half of the season, or second part of the season anyway. When I looked into it, just I was interested in that Cummins signing. If he scores 12 more goals, he's overtaken the league's top scorers. So his time at Hibs at that level in the Championship, he accumulated many, many goals. I think he's 55. Dobie's sitting on 66 or so currently. So if he even gets close to that sort of same form, he'll be nothing but an asset for that Dundee team. And I think for me, that's what's going to make them a really solid playoff team. Not convinced they'll have enough to sort of pick up points against some of the other stronger teams. I think that's where they've struggled and will continue to struggle, especially some at Queen of the South. They seem to be dropping points that they should be securing or definitely winning. So I think we'll see a wee change in fortune for them. But also to nip on to my second place one, at the same time, I just see Raith as being too strong, and their momentum, unlike Dunfermline, is just going to keep on going. We spoke last time about their strength in attack. They've got loads and loads of different options that they can rotate if they want to. That comes with a caveat, though. I think those positions will switch should Raith suffer defensively. So if something happens in that defence, I don't think they've got enough cover. But as it stands just now, I see them progressing. And I want to hold that sort of caveat that next week, if someone goes down with an injury, I'm going to come back and I'm going to put Dundee second, Raith third. Because for me, that will almost sort itself out. But I think the way it will settle will be Raith two, Dundee three.
I've got the exact same. So before I talk through that, Muzz, what have you got?
Going against the grain of...
Good. Somebody needed to know to have something season.
I actually have Dundee in second. I think they will just get over the line into second place.
What's tipped that for you? Signing a come dog millionaire? What's your thoughts on that?
That's a large part of it. It's in a way, I'm rolling the dice as much as Dundee are with him. That if he does kick on and do what everybody is expecting him to do, like James said, he's got a target to reach, so that gives him a bit of personal motivation.
If they win their next game, you're right, they're only a point off it. If they win their game in hand, sorry.
Yeah, that's part of the reasoning as well. I definitely think I sort of almost hope Raith finish second, as just because I think they play football the right way. It's more a personal opinion, but I think with the signing of Tom Lang is ideal. But it's not going to...
Is that pre-contract, or is that going through?
Pre-contract.
You thought they might try and squeeze that through, and you thought maybe that it was after the window, though, wasn't it? Because my thought was, if Clyde don't know if and when their season's going to be started, they could maybe have climbed in on Lang, and then took a bit of money from him. But I think it was done after the window, wasn't it? Certainly announced.
I think so, yeah. I think it was. But we, what's cropping up here is, same with Arbroath down the bottom of the table. For me, it's that close in that league that, in terms of making a prediction, it's individual. It's down to sometimes individual signings that are just swaying this. So had Raith pushed through a defensive signing or two, I might have been saying a different thing. But because Dundee have made that signing of Cummings, they've covered a bit themselves a bit at the back as well. I just think it might be a tiny little margin that'll tip it. But I think if Dundee do finish second, I don't think Raith are going to be far behind them. So for me, it's Hearts first, Dundee second, Raith third, Dunfermline fourth from my top four.
If Dundee hadn't managed to bring in a boy from Spurs, would you at the centre half, would you have gone with Raith second? Or was that, you know, you'd said there Dundee obviously reinforced it back. Was that one of the signings that tipped it?
I don't know, because it's an unproven signing as much as it is an interesting one. So it's more the Cummings situation for me.
They've been playing like a narrow front three, Dundee, haven't they? Because they've obviously had their back four, Adam and Byrne and McGee, it was, prior to his injury. And then a really narrow front three, we saw through the middle, and then Mullen off a side and McGowan starting narrow, kind of drifting wide. Do you see Cummins in that sort of role? Do you think they'll have to change shape to fit him in?
I think they would have to play either, they would have to play him up on his own, or maybe as a two, so it might be something that McPake has to consider.
Because they wouldn't let McDaid go, although they've now got McMullen as well, don't they?
Yeah, true. That's another good signing that you mentioned, that helps strengthen them.
I'd gone the same as James. I see Raith finishing second, Dundee third, which has got a drop for me because I'd Dundee to win it at the start of the season. I think for me, it's the depth again in that attacking third from Raith that I'm liking. I think they'll score goals. My worry is for Dundee is, do they score enough goals? And when a game's 0-0 going in the last 10 minutes, or one each, you saw it when they played Arbroath. You know, they scored early, Arbroath pegged them back. And even the game against, who did they have in the cup? Bonnyrigg. They created chances, but he didn't. And I know the goalie's made a couple of wonder saves, but see, for me, they don't carry as much of a threat in that final third. And that now might change with Cummins, but if they're not creating chances for him, he can't score. Whereas Raith, Gullen coming back for me is massive. He was decent for Hibs this season when he's played. Kennedy, obviously another great bit of business. I'm just thinking as well, imagine like Raith had managed to nick in and get like a Jack Hamilton, because they had Lokatosh on loan from Libby. Imagine if they'd managed to get Hamilton in. Like James said though, and you've touched on as well, Maz, that defensively for Raith's my concern. I've said it for day one when I predicted them to finish ninth. Their defence has got the potential to cause them massive, massive issues.
Having said that, it was Big Davo that got the winner against Morton, so
it was, to be fair.
Maybe they're not so
life and old dog, yeah.
Not so bad at the back.
So that's my top four, and James's Hearts, Raith, Dundee, Dunfermline. Muzz has gone Hearts, Dundee, Raith, Dunfermline. So filling in the blanks then, James, who did you have just missing out on the promotion playoffs in fifth?
I've almost split this into, it's almost four leagues if you count Hearts as running away and having their own little league all to themselves, but If you really split it into three, I've got a three-team league in the middle here. Narrowly missing out, I'm going to put Ayr in there. I think I predicted them
fifth.
I've
got the exact same.
Also, reason being largely, it depends on the other two teams I've got in those areas. So just to give them away and sort of without giving the positions, I've got Inverness as being in part of that mini league with Morton as well. So for me, I think based on if you put them head to head against the Morton team, I just think they're better. I think they've got better players. I think their form's on the right track. And I just, for me, it seems like a better forward momentum for Ayr. Not necessarily a better window now that Morton have got themselves another goalkeeper. That's a win for everyone.
I was going to come on to that with Muzz actually later on.
I'll try and skirt over that, but for me, yeah, I just think Ayr's a better team, sort of all round, and they don't seem to, they've had their woes certainly, but they don't seem to have struggled as much in certain games that Morton do. I think Morton are almost reflecting on the start of the season being a bit sort of haywire, and then they found form, a change of manager. Now they're sort of back and forth with what they might be doing. I just think he'd have almost got that consistency of play and that forward momentum. In comparison to Inverness, I think Inverness have got too many games to make up.
Are you reading my notes here?
Constantly having games called off. But at the same time, I think if Inverness can get momentum in those games that they've missed, they'll push here. But similarly, if they don't get momentum and they get sort of into this toxic losing game after losing game after losing game and they can't find the win and everyone's just tough and the world's collapsing around them, they won't be a problem for Ayr at all. So for me, Inverness could easily challenge them or could easily, equally easily as not. And for me, Morton just doesn't have the strength and depth of squad required to push Ayr all the way. Similar to the fact that Ayr don't have the strength to push the promotion teams or the playoff teams all the way. So yeah, fairly solid fifth for me, a season of not too much to worry about from here on out for Ayr.
My logic is the exact same as you. I had Ayr fifth, just missing out that. They're fifth in the points per game table as well. We spoke about it in the last episode. They've recruited Wright, the striker, bit of physical presence at the top. I think they're relatively well covered at the back now. They were unlucky against Hearts. They've got bite in the midfield with Miller, with Murdoch, with Chalmers, boys that can play a bit as well, like Smith, Zanata, Walsh, Moffat. Relatively solid at the back. Like you say, I don't think they've got enough to kick on and push a Dunfermline or a Dundee. Inverness are decent, and Inverness in the points per game table are actually sitting seventh, interestingly enough. No, they're not. They're sitting fifth. Inverness are actually fifth in the points per game. But like you said, I think they've got too many to make up. And one injury or two injuries, whereas previously, maybe a two-week injury rules you at two games. A two-week injury will now rule you at four games, maybe, and I don't think they've got the depth to handle that. And a lot of young players as well. So I've got Ayr fifth and Inverness sixth. Muzz, who you got in fifth?
I have Inverness in fifth.
Have you got going Ayr for the sixth? Opposite.
I've got Ayr sixth.
Talk about them as well, because...
I thought all along, I've really been saying that I think Inverness are going to level themselves out and just finish slap bang mid-table. So I think they will. I think I know what you're saying about trying to squeeze in all those games and a couple of injuries here and there, but I'm just I'm rolling the dice again and thinking that they're just on their day as they're a match for anyone in the league, and without overanalyzing it, I just think that they will take advantage of those games in hand, and then suddenly they're looking right in the mix there, right in the middle. They're sitting on 14 points on Ayr United. They've got three games in hand. Ayr United on 17, so in theory Inverness only have to win one of them to be mixing it again. Given that Ayr might not drop points either, but I think that I like Ayr signings. I think Corey and Daba looked really mm-hmm. really good in that live game at the weekend. I thought he looked a slight level above. I think they've leveled up there. Ayr in that signing, he was flirting with a card. I think he got booked. He was but I think he's that's going to go down quite well in that league, I think. So I think their business has been shrewd. I just think inconsistency is plaguing them, and I think that might lead to a bit of a flat finish with Ayr. I think it's going to be tight. I think it's going to sort of concertina in the middle there eventually. So you might be talking a point or two different. So mm-hmm. it's hard to call, but each of those teams has to finish somewhere. So I'm just going to go Inverness fifth, Ayr sixth.
Well, I've played it safe as much as you've rolled the dice there, Muzz, because you're almost banking on them to go into that. Those games in hand and get the momentum behind them, whereas I've been maybe a bit more cautious, saying, oh, they might not win those games in hand, but equally they might. So I think fifth or sixth is as valid. It's not.
I think that's only because they've done enough, James, in the 11 that they've played to be sitting on 14 points. They've played 11 games and they're still three clear of the bottom, six clear off fourth place, sorry. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just my prediction is just based on the strength of what they've put together in that that first 11. And like I say, they only have to clock up a win and one, ideally, mm-hmm. two or three of them to propel themselves kind of straight back up there into the mix.
Buzz, you're on a flow here. Who have you got in seventh? And are you similar to James, just before you answer that, in terms of you think that there's three kind of mini-leagues within the one league? Again, if we take Hearts as being in that top mini-league, despite mm-hmm. the fact they're kind of streets ahead.
I think the playoffs could... I see it as the playoffs could become a mini-league and Hearts will be isolated at the top mm-hmm. and Alloa likewise at the bottom. So yeah, in a sense, in a slightly different way, I think Alloa will get cut adrift actually, and Hearts will run away with it. So I see kind of two mini leagues in the middle, the playoffs and the kind of mid to lower table in a sense. I have gone for Arbroath to finish seventh. I've gone for them to kick on again.
You've got Jack Lively fever.
I'm jumping on the bandwagon here a wee bit with Jack Hamilton.
I think
it's the cutting edge.
If he'd signed for Wraith, you might have just spontaneously combusted. So it's probably just as well that he didn't.
It's all gone downhill since that Greenock incident as well. It's been the goalkeeper, it's been the Greenockin, it's been spitting about that place.
Aye, I've been all over the place this season in the Championship, but sticking my neck out a wee bit again with some slightly wild predictions. But I think Arbroath, like to me, they've never been far out of it. All they've been missing has been a cutting edge, mm-hmm. because they've not been scoring, but they've not been taking like pump ins. You know what I mean? They've
interesting. They've just been missing something. Bottom in the points per game too.
Aye, until very recently though. If you look at their form. Last five matches, two wins, three draws. It's a sign of an upturn, and I think even had they not signed Jack Hamilton, I think something was going to give. I just don't think they were going to be that poor all season. I was just kind of waiting for something to happen, and the signing of Hamilton is the difference for me. Again, we're talking about. I know we're just talking about one signing, but I think that is enough to make the difference. So I expect them to get better. To keep picking up points, keep being difficult to beat. And I just think that I'll just see them shuffle up the table. Seventh is a quite lofty ambition, but they're in eighth now. So,
And it's maybe stereotypical of me to say this, but Campbell doesn't tend to go for younger players, does he? But Jack Hamilton's almost everything he would want in a striker. Like, he's quite bustling, isn't he? He's physical. He'll stick his backside in at defenders. He'll try and pin them. He'll win headers. He'll go down channels. So he's almost a prototype, isn't he? Is that a younger Stephen Dodge?
Aye, a bit of a battering ram, but can play as well. So mm-hmm. aye, it's a kind of ideal prototype.
Interestingly, I know you like Hilson, don't you? And the fact that Hamilton's come in as a focal point, it's freed up Hilson a wee bit to kind of play off the left, doesn't it? And get involved in other ways.
And by all accounts, he had a cracking game, Hilson, against Dunfermline. So, mm-hmm. yeah, that's only going to lend itself if they can get Hilson. He's already a massive contributor to the cause this season. Not always in goal return, but in other ways that I think like people who appreciate football at that level know what Dale Hilson brings to the team. So, yeah, if it can free him up and spur him on, all the better.
I've got Arbroath in eighth, but I think they'll do enough to not get sucked into a battle for ninth, if that makes sense. So, for me, I think Queen of South and Alloa are going to be duking out. I back your thoughts and a lot of what you said about Arbroath. Hamilton's a big sign, and they look more solid. That back four that rolls off the tongue, it's like the old Arsenal back four of Hamilton, O'Brien, Little, Thompson. Williamson's made a big difference in the middle of the park for me, and obviously Hamilton, who we've touched on. So for me, I think Arbroath will do enough not to be dragged into the mire at the bottom. I can see them eighth, and for me, Morton will do seventh. They've signed a keeper, which we're all thrilled about. I think their squad's decent enough. They've got options at the back. Enough, I think, to handle, even unless there's a really bad injury crisis. Midfield to front, again, I've got different options. And then I don't think they're going to do anything, Morton, to challenge even Inverness to get sixth. But again, I think they've done enough and they will continue to do enough not to get dragged down in the 8th, 9th, 10th. James, how have you got that Morton Arbroath axis?
I like I said when I was touching on air, I think when I'd compared them to Morton, I've got Morton sitting in seventh. So they finish off that sort of middle chunk for me with the air, Inverness, Morton.
Concerningly, we've gone exact same.
Yeah. Try not to touch on that because your predictions last time were so good.
Horrendous.
I wouldn't want to tar myself with that. But yeah, similar to you, obviously. Morton are... They've got enough. They've got a big enough squad. They've got enough about them to win games and to get some goals, perhaps that they didn't have initially. And like I said, I think they're relatively well equipped. They'll be able to see out some games more so than Arbroath. And I think Arbroath are almost hamstrung by their first half of the season. So I think it'll be a not a massive gap between seventh and eighth, but I think it'll be a gap nonetheless between Morton and Arbroath. Arbroath, though, for me, I think, unlike yourself, I don't think they'll be fighting Queen of the South at all. I think that's going to be pretty much the order for me. I think when you touched on Dick Campbell not being a daft manager, I think he can be praised for signing Hamilton, obviously, who we've sort of sung his praises to death, but he's come in and scored. I think we spoke last time about Moore coming in and being a potential creative impetus because things had maybe dried up and it's been a little bit stale. And if you're getting a new striker, then you can get a good creative player to link with them. That last game that they've won against Dunfermline, Moore's been on the bench, Bobby Lynn's started, played and scored. So Campbell's maybe brought in a couple of players in order to sort of spark life into the existing players, because Bobby Lynn's looking over his shoulder going, there's a creative player coming in to take my place. Actually, I better get my arse in gear. I'm going to go and score. And obviously, I'm not suggesting that he's not been trying before, but when you're sitting wondering, am I playing week in, week out? There's a guy who's been brought in, maybe he's coming in to take my jersey. That can only add a bit more competition to the squad. And I think Campbell creates teams that thrive on that. You don't want boys who just come in and churn away and just go through the motions. You want boys who are fighting on the pitch, but also fighting on the training pitch to start to play. And I think Lynn's almost been sort of reinvigorated, daft to say, after one, two games for the window. But we'll see how that progresses. So for me, he's got boys like that playing. He's brought in quality. Williamson, you guys have praised it before. Hamilton, we're sick of saying his name every week. Moore, I think, yeah, absolutely brilliant signings. And he's used the window well to supplement his team, but also to kick on the team he's got that maybe Queen of the South haven't done, that maybe Morton haven't done. So I think they'll be, if it'd been at the start of the season, I think Arbroath would be competing a wee bit higher up. But like I say, a wee bit hampered perhaps by the start of the season. So yeah, enough for me to see off Queen of the South. I think just now it looks quite tight, but I think we'll begin to see their paths diverge towards the end of the season. I think that gap will open up, but similar, I think Morton will move away from the bottom as well. So for me, Morton 7, Arbroath 8.
Thanks very much for that very comprehensive summary of the Morton and Arbroath axis. Muzz, the only team you've not touched on, we'll just let you reveal your joy that they've managed to sign a goalkeeper, Greenock Morton Football Club.
Yes, just to fill in the gap that I left there in the eighth place is my prediction for Morton. It's kind of only due to the fact that there's nowhere else I could put them in, because, if that makes sense, because
yeah.
This is the bit I was most unsure about, and this is, again, this is going on a bit of a hunch that the kind of, if you want to call it, a honeymoon period, or the wee bounce they got off the new management team taking over has possibly dried up a wee bit. I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be eighth at minimum. And they already had a good squad, so I don't think it's like an emergency that they needed to strengthen, apart from the obvious, which they have managed to sign a goalkeeping situation. Incidentally, I think from listening to Sports Sound at the weekend, Chick Young obviously shares some sort of frustration about the Morton goalkeeping situation, because I think somebody had said that he'll be happy that they signed a goalkeeper. So I'd like to find out if I'm not the only one that's obsessed with this fact that Morton were cutting about with one goalkeeper all season.
You're keeping esteemed company with that young man.
I think ironically at that game, the Wraith goalie went, like the Morton goalie hadn't been signed in time for his registration to go through, so they didn't have one on the bench. But ironically in that game, Jamie McDonald went off injured for Wraith.
And I bet McGlynn was so smug when he was bringing Robbie Thompson on. He's like, we'll just bring our, no problem, we'll just bring our sub goalkeeper on, who's also a very good goalkeeper, by the way. But it's interesting that the chap they've signed, Jamie Butler, he's come from the lower leagues in England, and on their website, Morton have said that 28-year-old Jamie is an experienced goalkeeper who has played his football down south in the English lower leagues. That's fine. That's nothing to suggest that he can't do a job in Scotland's Championship. But they do say, in addition to his playing duties, he will also be helping Morton's goalkeepers in a training capacity, which I can only imagine consists of him booting the ball up in the air and catching it again, because they don't have any goalkeepers. Well, they've got McAdam.
That quote just rolled off the tongue as well, Maz. So it's almost like you've been prepared for this point that has really rankled you for that long.
You wonder, it's a good bit of business, Morton. They're saving a wage, aren't they? And like you say, he would be hoofing balls up in the air for himself or shelling them at McAdams. And I think, you imagine the Morton manager going to him in a coaching capacity. How are the goalies looking? McAdams looking a wee bit shaky. You can maybe put the boy Butler in at the weekend. well, they've got one to sit on the bench and nudge them into a cosy eighth place for Muzz, because he's got nowhere else to put them. So,
no, you can't. Like I've said with Dunfermline and Wraith, you can't see Morton playing in a playoff to go down.
They're not
of that caliber. So, yeah, they do. Like, they have to go somewhere. It's not a criticism by any means.
I'm not suggesting
they're not that bad. They're not going to get relegated.
I think it's going to be so tight in the middle that they just have to slot in there. But it won't necessarily be reflective, as James is saying.
So to summarise then, almost if you take it as a combined triumvirate of the three of us, Alloa are going down, Queen of the South are ninth, Hearts are winning it, the playoffs all consist of Wraith, Dundee and Dunfermline in any sort of order, and the middle four will be... Well, the fifth and sixth will be Ayr and Inverness, again in any sort of order. Seventh and eighth will be Morton and Arbroath, again in any sort of order. So not too much differentiation there. A fair bit...
Get the season over. That's us. We've decided to get us done now.
Just kind of rewinding to the start of the season, I'm just going to pull out some interesting predictions we've made then. So you had me picking Dundee to win it. You had a couple of us had Wraith in ninth. Somebody had Inverness in second, James. Somebody had Morton in ninth. Somebody had Morton in ninth, Muzz, to be fair. But what we're saying is, we're saying these predictions are going to be more accurate now that we know what we're working with.
Yeah. And I like that you've jumped on that bandwagon, so you can hitch yourself to me if it all goes well.
If it all goes
up, you can say, well, you got it wrong as well. So
says a guy that was texting me this afternoon, well, where do you think Ayr will be? So as always, thanks very much for watching/listening. New content every Thursday at 12 noon. Like I say, even if you're not a fan of a League One or League Two club, it's well worth checking out our Extra Time edition with Stuart Brown, taking you behind the scenes at what's involved in the running of a club, changes they've had to make for COVID restrictions, budgeting, and also players' welfare, and all sorts of information about that. As always on YouTube, if you could like the video and subscribe to the channel, massively appreciated. Comments, journeyman sports of the week, and constructive criticisms of our predictions, always appreciated on YouTube comments, Twitter at Turnstiles There, and Pie and Bovro. We're relatively active on there when we're not getting dogs abuse. So thanks very much for watching, and we'll hopefully see you next week. Cheers.
Cheers.
Goodbye.